Today, we will be reading Matthew chapter 16. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today. God, we want to hear your voice. We want to hear from you, Lord. So, Lord, speak through your word. Make it alive to us. Help us understand what you want us to know, how we can better follow you and live for you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'Today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Jesus then left them and went away. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. "Be careful," Jesus said to them. "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." They discussed this among themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? But be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay, today there are several things to talk about. Let's begin at the beginning of the chapter. In the first four verses, the Pharisees and Sadducees come and ask for a sign. Now, the Pharisees and Sadducees, these are the leaders of the people. They are the leaders of the religion. They are, in many ways, political and social leaders, because for them, their religion was the center of their society. And so these people were very important. They came to Jesus asking for a sign. And Jesus basically tells them, why are you looking for a sign? You can't understand it. You don't seem to recognize what you're seeing. The only sign that I will give you is the sign of Jonah. Now, in some ways, this seems rather harsh. But remember, Jesus has already given them sign after sign after sign after sign. He has already done many, many, many miracles, and yet they still refuse to believe him. They still refuse to follow him. And so he realizes that no matter what he does, they're not going to listen. They're not going to follow. And so he doesn't do another miraculous sign to prove to them who he is, because he has already given them more than enough signs if they would just open their eyes and see them. And so Jesus basically says, I'll give you the sign of Jonah. Now, what does he mean? Well, he's referring back to an Old Testament story of the prophet Jonah. In this story, God told Jonah to go and tell other people about God's judgment. But Jonah chose not to go. He didn't want to tell these people about God and warn them because he wanted God to punish them. They were enemies of Israel. Instead, Jonah ran away. Well, God sent a terrible storm, and eventually Jonah got tossed overboard on the boat, and the storm stopped. But God sent a fish along to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside that fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, this is what Jesus is talking about, the sign of Jonah. And what he's talking about is his eventual death. That he will die, he'll be buried, and he will rise again on the third day. The sign of Jonah just says Jonah was in the fish for 3 days, Jesus would be buried for 3 days. Next, Jesus talks about the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And at first, the disciples have no clue what he is talking about. They are very confused, and they think he's talking about bread. And once again, he says, what? Aren't you paying attention? Didn't you see what I've already done? You're worried about bread, but I've already fed thousands of people, twice, with very, very little food. I can take care of you. What he's talking about is not bread. It's not the yeast that you use when you make bread. Instead, he was talking about the yeast of the Pharisees, the teaching of the Pharisees. And he says, be careful, because this is little bit of false teaching that they might give can get in and grow and expand and fill up everything. And so he's warning them to be careful not to listen to the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, because they are leading many people away from God. And that's what Jesus was concerned about. Next, he really begins to spend time with his disciples, teaching them and talking to them about who he really is. And he begins by asking them who they think he is. And he gets different answers about who people say that he is. Maybe he is a prophet, Elijah, John the Baptist. People aren't really sure. But when he asks who they think he is, Peter gets it right. Peter says, "You are the Messiah. You are the promised one, the one that God said he would send." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are blessed because you didn't get this from your own intellect or your own mind. Instead, God revealed this to you." And then he gives Simon the name Peter, which means rock. And he says, "On this rock, I will build my church." On the belief that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, he will build his church on this. And so he tells them not to tell everybody that he is the Messiah, but instead to wait. And then he begins to explain what that means. You see, the Jews were not looking for Jesus to come and do what he did. Instead, they were looking for a political leader. They were looking for someone who would come in, rescue them, set them free from the Roman occupation, and establish a Jewish-led kingdom. But Jesus didn't come for political purposes. He came for our spirits, for our very souls. He had a much bigger, more important job to do. It wasn't to establish some political kingdom or government. It was to establish his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, where God is the ultimate authority, where God is our leader, where God is our king, and we follow and submit and honor and respect and give everything that we are to God and God alone. And so he begins to explain that he does not plan to do what many people think the Messiah was going to do. Instead, he tells them, "I have some things coming up that you're not going to like. I'm going to have to go to Jerusalem, and there I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to die. But on the third day, I will come back." You see, Jesus knows what is coming. He wasn't caught by surprise when he was killed. He knew at this point already what was going to happen. And he was willing to do it because that's what it was going to take. Now, Peter doesn't understand this. And he thinks, "What? Go? Die? No, Lord. This isn't going to happen." And Jesus says, "Get away from me, Satan. You're like a stumbling block." You see, Jesus knows that if he listens and follows Peter's advice, he will not do the most important thing he came to do, which is to set us free, to save us from our sins. And so Jesus says, "No, you're not thinking about what God wants. There is something bigger than this life, something bigger than our human concerns. If you want to be my disciple and follow me, you have to put God's desires first. You have to be willing to give up your very life in order to follow me. You have to give up your thoughts to accept the thoughts of God. Give up what you are wanting. Give up yourself." He says, "Anyone who follows me must take up their cross to follow me. Deny themselves. Take up their cross, which is a symbol of death. We must die to ourselves and what we want and follow Jesus." But what he says is very fascinating. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. If we are trying to save our physical life, we will lose our spiritual life. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Jesus is saying, even if you gain everything in this world, wealth, fame, power, if you lose your soul in order to get that, you've lost everything. It's not worth sacrificing your eternal soul for things on this earth. Jesus had the right perspective. He didn't sacrifice his mission and purpose for a comfortable, easy life while he was here on earth, because he knew that there is a much, much bigger picture than what we can see here on earth. But Jesus sees it. He has that in mind. And he is calling us to a life of following him and saying, Lord, let me give up these things on earth for something so much better. Lord, I am willing to lay aside, give up, lay down, and no longer cling to these things that I want. No longer follow these dreams, but die to my own desires so that I can live to yours. Just like if a king commands his people to do something, they have to do it. God is our ultimate king. And as he asks us to follow him, we give up what we want. But the great thing is, God rewards us so richly that as I give up the things that I'm holding to, God gives me something so much better. He gives me joy in knowing that there is something better to come. He gives me peace. He gives me strength. And he gives me an eternal reward in heaven. So what about you? Are you ready to lay down your life to follow Jesus? Are you ready to let go of the things that are holding you back? The things that are keeping you from saying, yes, Lord, I will follow you, I will obey. Are you ready to follow him? That's what he's calling us to do. God wants you to follow him. He wants to bless you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, to give you a life beyond what you can imagine. It may not be easy. It may not be the most comfortable life here on this earth. But it is so well worth the sacrifices that we might give for the eternal riches and glory and wonder that we will experience in his kingdom when we die. There is so much more to life than this temporary earth. There is so much more. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would help us be willing to let go of the things of this earth in order to embrace the spiritual things. Help us to stop thinking only about the temporary things of this life and start seeing things through your eyes and start seeing things in the kingdom of heaven. Lord, give us strength to die to ourselves, to die to those things that we desire, those things that we want. And Lord, help us find our life in you, find our purpose in you, find our passion in you. Guide us, Lord. Direct us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.